Or is this not a prophecy of those who are going to be resurrected and be gods and share with Jesus the judgment? That's what it is. You cannot answer this by saying that this is only referring to human judges. And we'll see that in just a minute when we get to John 10. Especially where it says, "Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations." That has got to be referring to Christ. Okay, now let's go to John 10. John 10. Okay, John 10. And here's where the author of the booklet, Who is Jesus, Anthony Buzzard, said that Jesus specifically denied that he was God. Specifically denied that he was the Son of God. Now let's read it and see, is that what Jesus specifically said? All right. Let's pick it up here, John 10 and verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, "How long do you make us to doubt?" And the Greek means, "How long are you anxiously going to hold us in suspense? If you be the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them, "I have told you, and you believe not." Did he deny it? No. Did he answer it? No. He told him what he told him and said, "You didn't believe." No denial whatsoever. "But you believe not," he says, "because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Very interesting. You're in the Father's hand, right? As well as Jesus' hand. Okay? "I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. That's an old practice in the city of Jerusalem, right? They still do it to this day. That's because it's a rocky place. All right, who knows? They might have recycled stones of death. They picked up that someone was stoned to death, and now they're stoning someone today with the same stone. Okay, who knows? "And Jesus answered them, Many good works I have showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? And the Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone you not, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Now think on that statement that these Jews said. "You, being a man, make yourself God." Did Jesus deny that? He didn't deny it. He didn't confirm it. What did he do? He referred to Psalm 82. Notice what he says. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods?" And of course, that doesn't answer the question because he's referring to a prophecy. How many times have we gone through the sayings and teachings of Jesus where to the Pharisees and other people, he really doesn't answer the question? Okay, here's what we have. "You are gods. And if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken." So that's why I feel that it's referring to those who are going to be gods as the Son of God, as the sons of God at the resurrection reigning with Christ. That's what I think Psalm 82 really refers to. Especially since Jesus quoted it here. Okay? "How say you of him whom the Father," now verse 36, "has sanctified and sent into the world, you blaspheme, because I said I am the Son of God." Very clear. Could not be clearer. He did not deny that he was not God. He didn't say that he was God, But he said he was the Son of God. And we'll see when we get into the book of John why he had to say he was the Son of God and could not outrightly say that he was God, though he never, never denied it. Okay? Now, let's go to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. What I want you to do with Isaiah 40, I want you to read and study all the way through Isaiah 40 through 46. I'm going to summarize some of the things here. We know very clearly from last time that Jesus revealed the Father. Which means that since Jesus revealed the Father, that the Father was not revealed in the Old Testament, correct? And if he's not revealed, but it's intimated in places, but it's not revealed, saying there are two gods. Okay? It's intimated, because the Old Testament is not the full revelation. Now when we come to Isaiah 40 through 46, we have the statements, I am God and there is none else. We will see that is always in comparison to the gods and idols that people were making. All the way through. All right? All the way through. All right? Now let's begin in chapter 40. And let's go right on here. Okay? Now, I just might mention this, that all the way through the word Elohim, where verse 1, chapter 40 says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. That is your Elohim. Who is the Elohim to Israel? The one whose name is Yahweh, the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim. Okay? Then it says, let's come down here, verse 3, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, Yahweh, make straight in the desert a highway for our God, Elohim, all the way through. And it says here, verse 5, the glory of Yahweh shall be revealed, for the mouth of Yahweh the Lord has spoken it, verse 5. Now, shows what God is going to do. It shows the power and return of Jesus Christ, where it says, verse 9, O Zion that brings good tidings, get you up into a high mountain. O Jerusalem that brings good tidings, lift up your voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Did the cities of Judah behold Jesus? Yes. Are they also going to behold Jesus when he returns? Yes. Verse 10, behold, Yahweh Elohim will come with I'm going to read what it is in the Hebrew as we go along. Lord God means Yahweh Elohim, okay? Will come with a strong hand, his arm shall rule for him, his, behold, his reward shall be with him and his works before him. Now, after showing great power and return of Christ, then he says, verse 12, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Who's he talking to? To human beings and would-be gods, as we'll see in a minute. And meted out the heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in the measure and weighed the mountains in a scale and the hills in the balance. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, Yahweh, or being his counselor, has taught him? Or with whom took he counsel, or who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding. Behold, the nations are as a drop of the bucket and are counted but the small dust of the balance. Behold, he takes up the isles as a very small thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations are before him as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. Well, that's quite a statement. I read it a little fast so we could get through it. Okay? Powerful. That's saying, who are you going to liken God to? Why does he start this section out this way? We'll see in a minute. To whom then will you liken God, or what not likeness will you compare unto him? The workman. Where's the workman? On the earth. Melts a graven image, or that is, molds a graven image. The goldsmith spreads it over with gold and cast with silver chains. He that is poor, that is impoverished, and has no oblation, chooses a tree that it will not rot. Watch any documentary on New Guinea, and you will see that they carve their gods in trees that won't rot, just like the Indians of the Northwest United States. Before it became the United States, they made totem poles out of cedar trees, which would not rot. Okay? That was their God. He seeks unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not move. Have you not heard? Have you not known? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sits upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in, that brings the princes of the earth to nothing, that makes the judges of the earth as vanity. Now, they're not called Elohim here, by the way. They're just judges. Yea, they shall not be planted, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he also shall blow upon them, and they shall be withered, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Where is the activity? On the earth, okay? On the earth. What are we talking? We're comparing God to what? To an idol. So when he says, I am Elohim, he's saying, none of these idols are Elohim. To whom will you liken me, or shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes, and behold who has created these things, that brings out their host by number, calls them all by names, by the greatness of his might, all the way down through here. Okay? Verse 27, why say you, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hid from Yahweh, and my judgment is passed over from our Elohim. Why? Because what were they doing? They were committing idolatry, making idols. That's what the whole comparison is. All right, let's go to chapter 41. Chapter 41, he talks about the idols in verse 1. He talks about righteous men. He talks about kings, verse 2. Verse 3, pursues them, pass safely. Verse 4, who has wrought and who has done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Yahweh, the first and with the last, I am he. The isles saw it and so forth. Now let's come down here to verse 7. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smoothed it with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for soldering, and he fastened it with nails that it should not move. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham. You, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and so forth. You are my servant. Now, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your Elohim, in relationship to an idol. The idol is not your Elohim. I am your Elohim. I will strengthen you, yea, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against you shall be ashamed and confounded, and so forth. Verse 13, for I, Yahweh Elohim, will hold your right hand, saying unto you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, says Yahweh, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. All right. Come to verse. Come here to verse 20. That they may see and know and consider, I want you to read all the verses through it here, okay, and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it. Produce your cause, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reason, says the God of Jacob. Let them bring them forth. Show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things that we may consider them and know the latter end of them and declare unto us things to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter that we may know that you are Elohims. We may know your gods. All of this is comparison between idols on the earth, men who say they are gods, compared to God. Every one of these. So when we get into some of these other verses, which I don't know if we'll have time to cover all of them, I'll try to cover some more of them, all right, that it is not saying or denying that there is not another Elohim in heaven which has not been revealed. It doesn't say that anywhere, all right? Let's go on. Okay. Verse 26, who is declared from the beginning that we may know and before time that we may say, he is righteous, yea, there is none that shows, yea, there is none that declares, yea, there is none that hears the word. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them, I will give to Jerusalem one that brings good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man even among them. There was no counselor that, when asked of them, could answer a word. Behold, they are altogether vanity, their works are nothing, their molten images are wind and confusion. Boy, I tell you, that's, you see the comparison all the way through here. All right, let's come down here to chapter 42 and verse 8. Chapter 42 and verse 8. No, let's go to verse 5. Thus says Elohim, the Yahweh, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which comes out of it, he that gives breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein, I, Yahweh, have called you in righteousness, and hold your hand, and will keep you, and will give you for a covenant for the people, for a light to the Gentiles, a prophecy of Jesus, right? To open the eyes of the blind, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, to them that sit in darkness and out of the prison. I am the Yahweh. That is my name and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Now, does that show just one God? Give it to another what? Another person who says they're Yahweh, all right? Did we not have an article here that we've read about this man, Yahweh ben Yahweh? Living proof today, God says he's not going to give his name to him, okay, nor his glory to another. So it's compared to men and idols. All right. Read all the rest of chapter 42. Let's come to chapter 43 and verse 3. For I am Yahweh Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopians and Seba for you. Since you were precious in my sight, I have loved you. Fear not, I am with you. I will bring you your seed from the end of the earth, so forth and so on. Let's come down here. Verse 11, chapter 43. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. Only God can save. It's not denying that there is another God. God the Father, who was not revealed. But he says, I, even I, am the Lord, Yahweh. Now let's come down here. Okay, let's come down here to chapter 44. And verse 6, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no Elohim. And the context tells us, made by the hand of man. That's what the context tells us. And who as I shall call? And shall declare it, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and things that are coming to show. Says verse 8, fear not, neither be afraid. Have I not told you from that time, and have declared it? Is there a God besides me? Is there an Elohim beside me? Yea, there is no Elohim. I know not any. Where? On the earth. On the earth. Verse 9. They that make a graven image, which they call Elohim, or El, or Yahweh, are all of them vanity, and their despicable things shall not profit. They are their own witnesses. They see not, know not, that they may be ashamed. Who has formed a Elohim, a God? Or a molten graven image that is profitable for nothing. But that is for anything. No one has. All right. Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen. And they are of men. Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up. Yea, they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. The smith with the tongs, both works with the coals, and fashions it with hammer, and works it with the strength of his arm. Yea, he is hungry, and his strength fails. He drinks no water, and is faint. The carpenter stretches out his ruler. He measures it out with a line. He fits it with a plane. He marks it out with a compass, and makes it after the figure of man, according to the beauty of men, that it may remain in the house. And he hews him down cedars, takes the cypress, and the oak, which he strengthens for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants an ash, and the rain does nourish it. And then shall it be for a man to burn, for he shall take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindles it. He bakes bread. Yea, he makes a god and worships it. He makes a graven image and falls down to it. He burns part of it in the fire, part thereof he roasts the flesh. He roasts the roast and is satisfied. Yea, warms himself and says, ah, I'm warm, I'm seeing the fire. And with the residue thereof, he makes an Elohim. Okay? Nowhere denying that there is not God the Father at all. This is comparison to idols. And his graven image, and he falls down unto it and worships it and prays unto it and says, deliver me, for you are my Elohim. That's what God is talking about here. Okay? Chapter 45. I think we can get it all in. I'm going fast because I want you to take the time and read it and compare it and see that what we're going over is exactly true. All right. Chapter 45 and verse 5. I am Yahweh. And there is none else. And he's talking to who? He's talking to Jacob, my servant. For Jacob, there is one Yahweh. There is none else. There is no Elohim besides me. For Israel, I girded you, though you knew me not, that you may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am Yahweh, and there is none else. Compared to all of the idols, okay? I form the light and create the darkness. Not the idols, not the Elohims of men, not the graven images. I make peace and create evil, none of the other things that people have worshipped. I, the Lord, or Yahweh, do all these things. Now let's come down here to verse 9. Woe to him that strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherd. Shall the clay say to him that fashions it, what are you making? Or your work? He has no hands. Woe to him that says to his father, why do you beget me? Or to his mother, what are you bringing forth? And then he says, ask of me concerning my ways, concerning my sons, concerning my daughters. Okay? And the whole thing here is all the way through referring to the very power of God compared to the non-existent power of idols to which men ascribe idols. Let's come down here to verse 18, Isaiah 45. For thus says the Lord that created the heavens, Yahweh, God himself, Elohim, that formed the earth and made it. He has established it. He has created it. Not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. Oh, and remind me next time to tell you about what they've discovered with the dinosaurs. Very interesting. Watch on your Discovery or PBS channel a documentary on the dinosaurs and why they're all found in one layer of strata around the world. Very interesting. Okay. I am Yahweh, and there is none else of any of the gods of idols on the earth. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, you that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Idols again, right? Yes. Now, you may think this is a little redundant in going through all this, but I think it needs to be driven the point home that in nowhere is this saying and denying that there is not another Elohim called the Father in heaven above, which has not been revealed to Israel at this point, which we proved last time was not revealed, which Jesus said he came to reveal. So unless it's revealed, you don't know. So therefore, unless he reveals it here, then he's saying, I am Elohim, there is none else. I am Yahweh, and there is none else, compared to all your idols. Verse 21, tell you, bring them near, let them take counsel together. Who has declared from this from ancient time, or who has told it from that time? Have any of these gods, have any of these idols? No. Have not I the Yahweh, and there is no Elohim besides me, a just Elohim and a Savior, and there is none beside me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am Elohim, and there is none else. There's no other Elohim. That's why he said, thou shalt have no other Elohim before me. So he's talking about no other gods. I have sworn by myself, and the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me shall every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. And to whom is this talking about? Philippians, the second chapter. That every knee is going to bow to Jesus Christ. And every tongue is going to confess the name of Jesus Christ, that he is Savior. That is Yahweh Elohim of the Old Testament. Okay? Now, chapter 46, verse 1. Bel, one of the pagan gods of Babylon, bows down. Nebo, one of the pagan gods, stoops. Their idols were upon the beast, upon the cattle. Their carriages were heavy laden. They were burdened with the weary beast. They stooped, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but they themselves are gone into captivity. Verse 4, and even to your old age, I am he. Even to the gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear, and even will carry, and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me, or make me equal, or compare me, that we may be like? Huh? Who? To any of the idols, to any of the gods. Again, the comparison, verse 6. They lavish gold out of the bag, weigh silver in the balance, they hire a goldsmith, and he makes it a Elohim, a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon their shoulder, they carry him, they set him in his place. He stands, and from his place shall he not be removed, unless it's Dagon. Remember what happened to Dagon when the ark was taken by the Philistines and they put it in the temple of Dagon? God fell down. The Elohim Dagon fell down and broke off his head and hands, right? Okay? Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet shall he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. People bow down to idols. Oh, save me. You know, whatever the idol may be. Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind. O you transgressors, remember the former things of old, for I am Elohim and there is none else. No idol, no god that a man could make. Okay? And there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are yet to be done, and my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my pleasure. And then we have a whole church called the Virgin Daughter of Babylon, of the Chaldeans, who says, I am, and there's none else besides me, chapter 47 and verse 8, and God says, you're going to fall because you've called yourself God. Uh-huh. All right? You go through and you search it all the way. And I defy you to find any place in there, though it says, I am one God, I am Elohim, that it excludes that there is, that it has, by these statements, predetermined that there cannot be another Elohim in heaven, which was not revealed, which is revealed in the New Testament as God the Father. That's as far as we're going to go today. Yes, why did God write it? Good question. Why did God write it that way? Because the revelation of God was not complete in the Old Testament. One of the fallacies of the Jews is that they have the complete scripture. Okay? So without the New Testament looking at this, you could build a pretty strong case for it.
You're right. See? God has to reveal it.
Okay? Now, why did he write it that way? Let's go to Isaiah 28. Okay, even God says that he didn't give it to them to understand. And remind me, before I forget, to go to Luke 24. Okay? Need to go to Luke 24 after this. Verse 9, Isaiah 28. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, and there a little. For with stammering lips and with another tongue will he speak to this people. Okay? And that's why the New Testament has been preserved in Greek and not Hebrew. There's a very profound reason for it. Do you think it would have survived Jewish censorship? Huh? No way. Wait till I tell you about the canonization of the New Testament. I won't get into it in real depth, but just enough to show you why John had to write what he wrote when he wrote it. Okay? Now, verse 12, continuing on here. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause a weary to rest. This is a time of refreshing. Yet, they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken because of their sin and idolatry. We can add right in there. Okay? What did it say? What was said of Jesus? This is the stone which you builders have set at naught. Okay? Chapter 29 and verse 10. For the Lord has poured out upon the Spirit, upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and has closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers and the seers has he covered. See, because what are they going to do? What are they going to do with the knowledge of God? Make an idol. Claim it for their own. Take it to themselves. Okay? For the vision of all has become unto you as the words of a book which is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray you, and he says, I cannot, for it is sealed. And this book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray you, and he says, I'm not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips, do they honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and the fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. That's why they don't understand, because they are taking the word of God and they are, as we'll see in just a minute, turning it upside down. Okay? Therefore, behold, I will proceed and do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. It's a prophecy of Christ. Did he not do a marvelous work and wonder? Absolutely incredible. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudence shall be hid. Has that happened? Has that happened? To Judaism, to Catholicism. Yes, absolutely. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who sees us and who knows us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. And for shall the work say unto him that made it, he made me not? Shall the thing framed say to him that framed it, he had no understanding? That's what we're doing. People are saying, God, you don't know. We're smart. We know. We have degrees. Nonsense. Okay? So then he goes on showing here in the rest of it. But anyway, that's why they don't understand it. That's why they don't understand it. Let's just use an example in the Old Testament of a Jewish king. Remember the Jewish king that God heard? That God changed the course of history for a few years because of him? Why did God do that? What was his name? Anybody remember? One of the most famous Jewish kings in the Bible. Why did God honor him? And why did God bless him and hold off the destruction of Jerusalem and Judah? What was his name? Anybody? His name is Josiah. Why did God spare all of Jerusalem and Judah? Because when he heard the words of the law, he repented. And his heart was tender before God. And God said, because your heart is tender, I'm not going to do it in your day. So that's exactly what we're dealing with here in the book of Isaiah. Why don't they understand? Because when they hear the word of the Lord, they're ready to argue about it rather than have tender hearts and follow it and obey it and do it and live by it. They still want to cling to their covetousness. They still want to cling to their own ways. They still want to reject Jesus Christ. They still want to reject God and still have all the blessings of God. Won't work. Won't happen. They'll never understand a thing. Luke 24. Now, why don't some people understand the scriptures? Well, it's right here. Even among the disciples of Jesus. Okay? Luke 24 and verse 25. Now, this is after he was walking with the two men going to the village of Emmaus and went in to eat with them. Then he said to them, O fools and slow of heart, telling his own disciples. I mean, you know, what does this do to your concept of the tender little Jesus who never said a bad word to anybody? Okay. And slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Mind's got to be open to it. Okay? Now let's come to verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. There's the key. There's the key. How can people blind themselves in doctrine? I'll finish with that. Okay? How can people blind themselves with doctrine? Okay, by not believing. Let's turn to Ezekiel 14. How can people be deceived with their own doctrines? What happens? What happens? In the clear light of Scripture, it becomes their idol. Their doctrine becomes their idol. Here it is right here. Ezekiel 14 and verse 2. This is in principle. I don't have much time, so I hope I don't run out. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart. I want to be a minister. I want to be a prophet. I got it. Nonsense, okay? It's their idol. Who are they worshiping? Themselves, their ideas. Okay? And put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. And should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that sets up idols in his heart, puts a stumbling block of iniquity before his face, and comes to the prophet. I, the Lord, will answer him that comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. And then it says here, verse 6, therefore thus says, say unto the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent and turn you from your idols, and turn away your faces from your abominations. And that's what a lot of people going around promulgating a lot of doctrine, which is their own mental idol, ought to do. Okay, we'll continue next time.